my mind, you just wake up and go rake.
Oh, drives one. Right field. Did he do it? He did. Are you kidding me? Let's go!
Episode 79, Wake and Rake Podcast, part of the Believe Podcast Network. Hey, Will Middlebrooks, can I hear your voice? Just check in for me.
Hey, how's it going? You know, it's probably the first time I've ever been called Will Middlebrooks, and it might not be the last, though. Works for me.
People are so confused on audio platforms right now. What is going on right now? Yeah, that's Jessica Kleinschmidt joining the pod for the first time, making her debut. I don't think we've had you on before, have we?
No, and I'm very upset about that. But I like to make an entrance so this works.
Dude, that's what I like about you, though, is you're always upfront about your concerns. If I know something is wrong, you're going to let me know.
100%. And people say I would be too blunt and upfront, but whatever, it's fine.
Years with MLB.com and NBC Sports Bay Area, now a broadcaster with the Oakland A's Radio Network. She is live from Oakland because opening day. She's also an on-camera host and reporter with the comeback and awful announcing. That's a mouthful, JK. We got to work on the subtitles. You know,
definitely. That's okay. Suck it up. I'm not going to just, you know, settle. I'm going to do a billion things. I want to be the Mike Trout of baseball media, the five tool player, if you will.
Will you have a playoff resume at least?
I sure do. Yes. Okay. Too soon.
All right. Tell me, what are you excited for? Opening day's tomorrow. You're in Oakland. You're going to be on the radio network. Most of our listeners are not exactly A's fans. And so most of our listeners are probably like, there's probably not a lot to be excited about in Oakland right now. So fill us in.
And I'm glad you asked that. And, you know, it's been kind of cool covering this team for the last two seasons because you want to know what is there to be excited about. And the beauty is there's a lot of young guys that could possibly be on your team in the future, but we're also giving a lot of chances for these veteran guys as well. You know, Jace Peterson's on the team. We just signed Jesus Aguilar in the offseason, and I've been seeing some of his BP, Danny, and he's looking pretty good at the plate right now. And Aledmys Diaz, the A's called him the day after the World Series to say, hey, you want to play for the A's? And he's, you know, the highest rated player if you're into MLB The Show ratings. So that's something to pay attention to. So definitely those guys. And I feel like Estuary Ruiz is going to take advantage of those bigger bases. So he's going to steal a lot of bags this season. Him and Corbin Carroll, I think, are going to be two of the top rookies heading into the season. And, you know, it's just a fun vibe. And it's a good, you know, I guess, attitude in that clubhouse. I just talked to Ramon Laureano the other day, and he said that they're finally talking about winning games as opposed to just showing up and having fun. So that's at least good from that point of view.
Have you gotten a chance to speak with Jesus Aguilar yet?
Not yet. But he, like I mentioned the batting practice, but he had like a group of young high school baseball kids watching him, shouting him out during batting practice. The next thing you know, he goes yard in the exhibition game against the Giants. So don't sleep on Jesus. And I think he could be a target trade deadline or a target trade deadline guy coming toward, you know, the All-Star break, because I think he's finally figured it out back at the plate again.
Just enjoy him while you have him. That dude is a walking content machine, you know, like personality wise.
Say less.
Love that guy. We're talking American League, National League West previews. The reason I got JK on this pod is because she is a West Coast expert. And finally, we get somebody from the West Coast on this podcast. I'm constantly arguing with these East Coasters, Jessica, and I don't like their vibe. I don't like their East Coast time. I don't like the way they operate. They're East Coast bias. They're constantly talking about the American League East, and I'm tired of it. And so I'm pumped up to have someone from the West Coast here who has been probably complaining about the weather just as much as I have these past 3 months, because it's been terrible.
Oh my gosh. I left Reno to come back to just more pouring water here in Oakland. So it feels like that's been constant. So I know I think there might be usually jealous of the fact that we get sunshine. There's nothing to be jealous of, Mr. East Coasters and Mrs. East Coasters, because I can promise you the weather is not great right now.
Brooksy is on East Coast. I don't know what the weather's like in Boston. He's going to be on NESN tomorrow for those that are missing him. I will not be missing him, but I will be watching him on NESN for the Red Sox pre and post games. Let's get into it, Jessica. Before we do over-unders, like we promised, go ahead and give me your best Sergio Romo story, because he is hanging him up. He had that great moment at Oracle Park where he walked out the diamond. Hunter Pence took the ball from him. dude started bursting in tears. Me growing up in Northern California, born and raised a Giants fan, that kind of hit me in my feelers a little bit, and that was great to see. A guy that was a master of his craft with his slider. His final fastball velocity was like 88.7 miles per hour. He threw 6,000 sliders, and he threw about 2,000 fastballs, and still opponents hit 185 against his slider. That's dominance. It's a master of craft in an era that is dominated by velocity. Give me your best Sergio Romo story, because I know you've had a relationship with him.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up. I was lucky enough to cover him during the last game the other night at Oracle Park. And I did cover Sergio when he was with the A's a couple of seasons back. And I think my favorite memory of his was the fact that he leads the young guys. And I've talked to Dalton Jeffries about it. And I've talked to, I just the other night, talked to James Caprillion about it. Those guys are successful because of Sergio Romo. If you didn't have a slider in your pitching arsenal, you would if you spoke to Sergio Romo. And I mentioned those two guys, but, you know, Paul Blackburn still uses the slider that Sergio taught him. JP Sears, who's vying for a rotation spot, still uses that pitch. I mentioned Dalton. He uses it. Chris Bassett still uses it. Wherever, I think he's with the Blue Jays now, and everything like that. And then Grant Holmes, who's now with the Braves, big guy who's very in love with Sergio Romo and everything that he did. So I had an NBC special with Sergio, and I just got to fall in love with him just as everybody else did. And you think about that squad that had Tim Lincecum on it and Matt Cain and all those guys, those World Series rings that they all won. You can see why the Giants fans felt so spoiled with those guys. And not to mention the fact that Sergio just the other day, I know he was busy hugging people, but he went out of his way just to say hi to me and give me a big old hug. And he didn't have to do that. I totally would have understood if he continued to just do what he needed to do, but he spent just as much time on the A's side as he did the Giants. And I'll never forget that, because not only is it Sergio Romo, but before I met him, I was a little intimidated because of his amazing resume that he possesses, but it just felt like I was talking to somebody else. And we had a really beautiful conversation about his Mexican heritage and all of his tattoos and just the stuff that you remember, you know, bigger than baseball type of stuff. And that's what he'll like leave a memory with. But the fact that he stopped to talk to me, and of course we got to see that amazing hat with all those young kids that signed for him. He wore that as he took the mound. Hunter Pence took him out of the mound, off the mound. Just like a really cool situation. And I'm just so lucky to not only be a part of that moment, but be a part of his resume as well.
That's cool. We talk all the time, especially me and my dad. We constantly get in these conversations about who's a Hall of Famer, who's not a Hall of Famer. And then we got onto the topic of who of the Giants are Hall of Famers during the, you know, the Bumgarner, Lincecum, Posey. I don't know how many are going to be Hall of Famers, but you can make the case like six of those guys could have statues outside of Oracle Park. Definitely. From Crawford to Lincecum, Kane, Bumgarner, and then Romo. Romo, what he did with his closing role, and then he was a setup guy for Brian Wilson before that, struck out Miguel Cabrera, who had arguably the greatest right-handed hitting seasons of all time, fastball right down the middle. That's how good his slider was, is he got his 89-mile-an-hour fastball by Miguel Cabrera to win the World Series in 2012. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's the best.
All right. Enough talking around, enough waiting around. Let's get into it. Over-unders. We have our West Coast expert here. I'm West Coast biased, as everybody knows, if you ever listen to this podcast. Let's start with the American League West. Houston Astros. Their win total set at 97.5, according to Vegas insiders. Last year, they dominated the league in just about every fashion possible. 106 wins, World Series champs. They didn't lose a game in the playoffs until they got to the World Series and finally lost to Philadelphia. They've had 100 or more wins in four of their last 5 years. Now, they lost Justin Verlander. Speaks for itself. They also lost Yuli Gurriel, Trey Mancini, Aldemus Diaz, who you already mentioned, who's now with Oakland. And they also lost reliever Will Smith, not to be confused with the catcher for the Dodgers. Now, they brought in Jose Abreu, who was the 2020 MVP for the White Sox. 97.5. What are you thinking, Jessica? Over or under?
I think they're going to surpass 100 wins. I don't foresee them getting crazy beyond that number, but you did mention some of those guys. I don't think losing Justin Verlander is going to hurt them as much as we anticipate, because they still have Luis Garcia. Lance McCullers, when he is healthy and he's coming back, he's a stud on the mound. Framber Valdez. And you have to remember, Jeremy Peña is making us forget all about Carlos Correa. That guy has so much range. He's making that infield just redonkulous. And Alex Bregman and Jose Altuve, the guy that I absolutely love that finally got enough attention was Kyle Tucker. That guy is just phenomenal in the outfield. They, of course, want to extend him, as they should. I tell you what, Danny, I am so glad that I get to cover Yordan Alvarez, but I don't have to pitch to him. That guy is insane. I'm so like, he's so much power, but he sees the ball so well. And I love the fact that he kind of brings the DH role back into play, because I feel like when you're an AL girl growing up, you're used to it, but you get to see the NL taking advantage of it as well. So I love that for him, and just scary to deal with at the plate. So they have a lot of stuff going for them. And then we don't even talk about the fact that they have a still strong farm system, all things considered, bringing more brass into it. So I think they're going to surpass 100 wins this season.
You're going over. That's a high number. That's the highest in Major League Baseball at 97.5. Which is why I'm going to go under. I think it's high, you know, and I already mentioned they won 100 wins in four of the last 5 years to support your point. I think they lost a lot, though. And I still think they're going to win the American League West. But it's more competitive this year, however.
Mariners made
the playoffs last year. Mariners have won 90 games in a row in two straight years. They just didn't make the playoffs a couple years ago. We can talk later about the Rangers and Angels, but I think the division as a whole is going to be better this year in the American League West. I hate to say it, I don't know how good Oakland's going to be, but I think top to bottom, the American League West is going to be better, which is why I'm going to go 97 wins for Ash.
Just to be that guy is what you're doing.
Yeah, I don't. You know how boring this podcast would be if we just agreed with each other the whole time?
Though? That is true. And I feel like I can be very nice doing the over a lot. But yeah. I've also seen this team is terrifying to watch in person, so.
I'm a sucker for the underdog, so Brooksy and I always go head to head, because I'm always the Marlins could make the playoffs guy, you know. Like right. I kind of have that stigma about me.
It's okay. You need one of y'all.
Yeah, like I wear that hat, and I wear it.
You're the 30 for 30 guy, is what you are.
Yeah, yes. And then when they don't make the playoffs, then I get ridiculed on Twitter, which is just what happens.
That doesn't sound like Twitter. Twitter is always usually so in tune with everything and pre-calm. So that sucks. I've
never received anything with toxicity on Twitter. It's a great place to be.
Yeah.
Speaking of Seattle, 86.5 is what their over-under mark is set at. Last year, they finished 90-72. They lost in the American League Divisional Series by Houston after taking down Toronto in the wild card round. Again, they've won 90 or more games in two straight years. They've actually won 90 exactly in two straight years. They had a very active offseason, bringing in Colton Wong, Teoscar Hernandez, AJ Pollock, Tommy La Stella. They lost Adam Frazier, Jesse Winker, Mitch Haniger, which is a huge loss. Guy with a lot of pop. He went to San Francisco. And they also lost Carlos Santana. Seattle looking to make the playoffs in consecutive years for the first time since 2001. Kind of a rival of Oakland. So I know you know plenty about Seattle, because Oakland couldn't win a single game against Seattle last year. What did they go like? 1-12?
It was ridiculous. And then the A's somehow swept the Astros once. It was ridiculous. But you're right. The Mariners don't mess around. I think Luis Castillo is taking on a lot more than just his numbers. I mean, the numbers prove themselves, but there wasn't a guy like that as far as not just production, but that low ERA since literally King Felix. And I feel like King Felix had this beautiful way of having the crowd help him. And I feel like Luis can be that guy as well. And I'm not the person to say like, oh, you're throwing it in a certain area, playing in King's Court or in front of those guys. It was just so different. But I think Castillo has been phenomenal, and he did get the opening day nod. And I feel like that's going to help everything out. I feel comfortable staying around 86.5 wins, maybe a couple more, but they're coming off of that really insane, you know, postseason. I think it was a 21-year drought that they broke. And I feel like that alone shows they have to continue doing it. We know how DePoto is. He's like the white elephant guy during the Christmas party, always making all these crazy trades. So you have to be careful with him during the trade deadline, because you never know what's going to happen. We mentioned Castillo, Robbie Ray, and Logan Gilbert, of course, they're going to be very strong. Eugenio Suarez, he's got so much power in his bat. But if Tommy La Stella stays healthy, you have to be careful, because he's, you know, what have you, but he was with the A's for a little bit, a phenomenal addition. And I've seen my eyes on him since he was with the Angels. So a lot of AL West exposure there. Like I said, He can be a spark guy if he stays healthy. And you mentioned AJ Pollock, same thing. If he can stay healthy, a guy you want on your team. And then Julio Rodriguez, he's going to be with the Mariners forever. And same with Crawford as well. So I love all those guys. But you also have to remember, it's still going to be a tough division. As you said, we haven't even touched on the Rangers yet. The Angels, another thing too. I think Mike Trout has a fire underneath his butt after the WBC. But we mentioned, and then Jared Kelenic, of course, too. He's always making pop out there in the outfield. So I feel maybe I'll give them 88 wins.
All right. Yeah. All right. I just like that Seattle actually has something to root for the first time in a while. You know, like I know they made the playoffs and they've had this momentum for a while. But now it's like almost expected. Like if they don't make the playoffs this year, it would be surprising.
I agree.
Seattle too. Like it's all your basketball team left them. You know, like nobody thinks of the Pacific Northwest. Like even out here on the West Coast, they're kind of like by themselves. You know.
Yeah. Like, I think they like that though, in a way. I really do.
Yeah. We need to get them a basketball team again. Not the Sacramento Kings, who by the way are about to play in a couple hours. Big time Kings fan here. Me and Logan Webb bond over that. And they're about to clinch their first playoff spot since 06. Just a little, not to get too off topic. I also have them over. I had them winning 92 wins. I think they got better this year. Like I said, bringing in Colton Wong is going to help defensively. He's a former Gold Glover. I think Teoscar Hernandez is a very underrated pickup. Only three guys have hit 25 or more home runs in the American League outfield since I think it was 2018. And it was Judge, Anthony Santander, and Teoscar. So that's pretty impressive. Good pop there. And like I said, I like the vibes.
Don't forget about Ty France.
Yeah, that's a good call too.
Yeah.
I think they lead the division in vibes, maybe.
I disagree. I feel like the Angels still have all those vibes coming off the WBC. That's just me. Yeah.
Fair enough. Texas Rangers. They're kind of interesting. 81
and a half. They're expensive and interesting.
They're expensive. Yeah. Starting with Jacob DeGrom, Nathan Eovaldi, Andrew Heaney. The rotation is completely different. If you haven't been paying attention in the offseason, they have a completely different rotation than what they had last year. But it's significantly better, too. Because last year, their starting rotation, they were 25th in ERA, 20th in strikeouts. And they had the second most walks in Major League Baseball, their starting rotation. So now all of a sudden you bring in strike throwers like Jacob DeGrom, Eovaldi, Andrew Heaney. The only problem with that is can those guys stay healthy? Because DeGrom, when he's on the mound, unarguably, you could probably agree, he's the greatest pitcher in baseball of this era.
Yeah.
Eovaldi and Heaney, really good stuff. They have also dealt with injuries in their past. It's not the offense that's going to be a problem with Texas. It's one, the division that's competitive, and it's two, staying healthy.
I'm right there with you. I'm really nervous about DeGrom, but Chris Young, the GM, did say, despite some of that left side soreness, I mean, he was hitting 100 miles an hour during his bullpens. They said that there shouldn't be much to be worried about, but I feel like if you were ever attached to the Mets, there's always going to be something around you. And I'm right there with you with the offensive capabilities. Marcus Semien's coming off yet another strong outing because, you know, he's that guy, loves all of his plate appearances, loves to start in all those games. And don't forget, Corey Seager is going to benefit greatly from the lack of defensive shift, probably the main guy right there. And we forget that how strong he was as the Dodger, you know, many all-star selects, former rookie of the year. And last season just hit a little bit around 250. So he's looking for that bounce back season very much so. So I'm excited about that. And we still have a decision to make on the outfield with that young guy, Bubba Thompson, not to mention the fact he's going to be under the guy of Bruce Bochy, who my guy, Mark Kotze, looks up to. It's one of his mentors. And we have to shout out a former A, Jonah Heim. That guy has so much freaking power. And he's one of the best catchers I've ever seen. One of the best play callers in the game back when I was covering him, when he was just a rookie. And now he's matured. He's stronger, building more mass and everything like that. So it'll be interesting to see what this outfield, especially specifically the center field position, goes to, because Bubba isn't really good as far as the offensive capabilities, but his speed kind of maybe makes up for all of that. But I'm right there with you. It's a very intriguing team, a very expensive team. It's like a $500 million infield right there. So I think I'm going to keep them around the same range, perhaps around the Mariners, but I know for a fact this team is going to be the thorn in the side of each and every single team in that division. Not going to be playing as many teams in that division because of the new scheduled format, but I think they're going to give a lot of teams a run for their money, and they should because they're extremely expensive.
81 and a half. Are you going under or over? What do you have, Matt?
I'll go a little bit over.
Yeah.
I can't give you a number, but I'll go over.
They're basically saying the sports books, are they going to be a winning team or not? Yeah. 81 and 81, 500.
I think they'll win. They'll be a winning team.
Yeah.
It's a tough division now that I really think about it.
It is tough.
Yeah.
Honestly, like the central divisions, there's definitely kind of a lack of talent when you compare it to the east and west divisions. And I don't think that's lack of media either. A lot of people think, well, that's because the central divisions don't get as much media attention. Just look at the talent level in the western divisions. Like, we're going to get to the National League West in a minute. But like, you have the two best players in baseball in the Angels, and then you kick it over and you have the Astros there, who were the best team in baseball. Mm-hmm. And then you have top 10 player in Julio Rodriguez up in Seattle. The division's pretty stacked. And by the way, the Rangers have DeGrom. So I'm going to go over. I think the Rangers are flirting with a playoff spot. Don't sleep on Nathaniel Lowe either. He was a really strong pickup that they got up from Tampa Bay a couple of years ago. And that dude broke out last year. And he was one of their better hitters in the lineup, most consistent hitters in the lineup. Also, don't forget about Josh Jung at third base. Former first-round pick out of Texas Tech. That dude can rake.
Yes.
The lineup's sneaky good, I think.
Do you think Martin Perez is going to have an amazing season again, too?
I like the guy. I love his singing capabilities, by the way, too.
Beautiful.
I don't know what's better, is pitching capabilities or a singing capability. That dude got some vocals. Like, I do got some chords.
I personally am a better pitcher than singer, but, you know.
You got video? You got receipts?
I sure do, and I probably made people burn it.
What did you play when you were younger?
I was mid infield, and then I shifted to first base, and then, or actually, sorry, first base shifted to mid infield.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you were just Reno's next coming of Marcus Semien?
Somebody said I was the Reno Joey Votto, but I don't really know what they meant by that.
You love yourself some Joey Votto, huh?
I do.
We should have had you on for NL Central, because how sad are you going to be if this is Votto's last year?
I'll be totally cool with it, because then we just get to get him in a media setting. And he's coming to the Coliseum this year. So, I mean, unless hopefully he's not injured and does the thing where he doesn't travel with the team, because then I'm just going to blow up the entire world. But, you know.
The Joey Votto and Jessica Kleinschmidt podcast, sponsored by Wake and Rake.
I got to start networking now.
Yeah. I'd invest in that.
Thank you.
Good Los Angeles Angels, 81 and a half. They had the same mark as the Rangers do. Last year, they finished 73 and 89. That's despite starting 27 and 17 last year. They had the third best record through the first month and a half of the year. And the injuries started racking up, and the wheels kind of fell off. They've fallen short of their win total in four straight seasons. That just goes to show that the Angels continue to be, frankly, disappointing to everyone in baseball. We need to see Trout and Shohei on the biggest stage. We finally got to see these guys on the biggest stage, in the biggest moment, in the World Baseball Classic. And the world went fucking bonkers for this moment.
And they should have. It was amazing.
Yeah, the best player in the world pitching against arguably the best hitter in the world. I respect Aaron Judge.
Yes.
81 and a half. I think it's go time with the Angels. Otani's going to be a free agent at year's end. The pressure has never been higher.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned this before. If the Angels don't make the playoffs with the two top players in baseball in the game, this is arguably the most disappointing tandem of not just baseball, like of any sport of all time. You can't think of another sport where you have the two best players. And I know baseball's different. Yes. I know, but you know, it's not reliant upon a quarterback being able to pass for 5,000 yards. I get that it's different. But regardless, that's what the legacy is going to be if they do fall short and if Otani kind of moves elsewhere. So I'm going over. I trust Trout. I trust Otani. And I think the rotation is pretty darn good with Patrick Sandoval. Probably the best rotation staff they've had in half a decade, probably.
Yeah, and you mentioned Patrick Sandoval in the WBC. He put on a show out there as well. And it's not like they're necessarily just depending on Trout and Otani. They did give an extension to David Fletcher, who I feel like is arguably one of the best hitters, pure hitters in the game when he's healthy. And I really appreciate everything he does. No matter what you throw at him, he's going to make contact. And that's something to pay attention to. Ward, same scenario right there. So they have the pieces to assist the Mike Trouts and the Shohei Ohtanis. And like you mentioned, it's either do or die at this point. And Arte Moreno did say he would never, I guess, entertain any of the trades, because they got about 5 trade inquiries for Ohtani. But if the Angels are heading toward the playoffs, he's not going to entertain any of those. So that's something to pay attention to. If the Angels continue to fall, expect perhaps a trade. And Moreno did say maybe 3 big leaguers for him, or you essentially empty out your entire farm system. But if they're winning, pretend I didn't say that. I do see them going above that. So I'm right there with you as far as the winning numbers go as of games. But like you mentioned, that WBC atmosphere, I've never seen Mike Trout like that. And I've been covering that guy for about 5 years now. And I've never seen him so outspoken. And this is a very quiet guy. He keeps to himself. I've never seen him do a sideline interview like he did with Rosenthal. So I think that lit a fire underneath him. As a matter of fact, he did say it lit a fire underneath him. And Mike Trout playing for Team USA is the most America thing ever. So you're right. If they don't surpass those over under numbers, I don't know what the hell to tell you.
I'll be so sad if they don't make the playoffs this year, because every year I've been on this bandwagon. I've been trying to will them into the playoffs, and they've fallen short.
I'm right there with you. It's a great organization, and it's just a shame.
What player wise do they like the Angels as an organization? Some of the, I don't want to just poo poo all over the Angels here. I know a few guys that have played in their farm system, and I hear there's a little bit of a disconnect between farm and front office and the lack of resources being put toward some of those players. What have you heard about the Angels? Do players like playing there?
You're right about the farm system disconnect for sure. And not to mention the fact that Moreno wanted to sell the team not too long ago. So that can't feel good. But as far as the players themselves, you know, I have heard that Ohtani's pretty happy, all things considered, but he's also a very happy guy. And, you know, we looked at some of the endorsement numbers. You know, Mike Trout doesn't make a lot of money in endorsements, but I also don't think he's a show-offy guy. Mind you, he did just build a new golf course. That's a whole thing, but we don't know what his investments are, right? So that could be something that he just didn't need because his investments are doing so well. But from what I hear, it's a good organization. But it's also just, it's interesting to hear about the farm system as well. I have not heard a lot of good things about the farm system from minor league players themselves.
All the additions of Hunter Renfro, Brandon Drury, Gio Urshela, Tyler Anderson, who was an all-star last year. And then they also added the bullpen with Estevez and Matt Moore. Could be interesting in LA. All right, the time has come. You've waited long enough. We've finally gotten up to, we've gone up to 5 and we finally made it to Oakland. We've made it to the East Bay. 60-102 they finished last year, Oakland did. Their over-under is now 59.5. So the sports books are saying, will they be better than they were last year, or will they be worse? You mentioned the additions of Aldemus Diaz, Jesus Aguilar, Jace Peterson, Trevor May. Have you gotten to meet Trevor May yet? Yeah, here he is. It's quite the personality.
Yeah, I just met him the other day. He's really nice.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to make some content with him. We already had the discussion, so don't worry.
Look forward to it. Shintaro Fujinami. Looking forward to seeing him too, because that dude's got a – I was a splitter dad, so I have a bias toward any splitter ball pitchers out there. Ohtani throws a splitter. Jaron Duran from Minnesota. I have a little bit of a bromance with anybody who has a splitter. Fujinami's got a nasty one.
Shea Langlier himself said he just loves that splitter of his.
He doesn't throw all that hard, right? Like low 90s for the most part, but he's got that splitty changeup that just knocks people off balance. That thing's nasty.
Yeah.
And then they just traded Christian Pesce, who was part of the trade for Matt Olson. He's now going to Philadelphia, and they got a minor league arm in return. What do you think about Oakland? You like the vibes. Do you like the wins?
The vibes are good. The wins, I do think we're going to end up winning more games. I need to stop saying we, but I am part of their broadcasting team. So
Matt Barnes says the same thing on the Sacramento Kings broadcast. As a fan, I love it.
Yeah. So then there's that. But I do feel like the loss of Sean Murphy certainly doesn't help everything. But I do like what Seth Brown did toward the end of last season. He had a power surge at the plate. I actually spoke to David Forst about it. And I said, you know, do you feel like this guy's underrated? And he said, are we still talking about the same Seth Brown? And then I realized it's because he's not getting enough national attention. He's not underrated in that clubhouse. He, of course, like I mentioned, the power, he's consistent coming from the left side, something to pay attention to. He's also shifting to the outfield because, as you mentioned, Aguilar just signed. Aguilar made some adjustments at the plate. And he's, I think he's going to be more of the lovable guy. And I think his personality is going to shine because he's going to be hitting very well. Ryan Noda, I've noticed that we're actually banking on a lot of these AAA numbers a lot. We're going to talk about Corbin Carroll later in the show. And that makes me think of that as well. They signed him to an extension. We're putting a lot of money in Ryan Noda's AAA numbers with the Dodgers, not to mention he's got power. He's better defensively than we're realizing. So it might be a platoon situation between Aguilar and Noda at first base. Tony Kemp is going to be in the infield. Nothing gets by him defensively. He's very underappreciated in his defensive game. Ramon Laureano, he's my guy to have the most home runs on the season. So much power. I think he actually the other night hit his most hard hit ball period at Oracle Park when they just absolutely tattooed the Giants secondary team, if you will. But I think we're definitely going to have more wins than we did last year. And I think it's because there's just something different this time around. Last year was all about the opportunities these guys were giving. Now we're actually talking about winning in the clubhouse. So that's been something that's been very interesting to hear. It sounds silly, but last year we didn't talk about winning. It was just, these guys are getting the opportunity. Nice to meet these young guys. Get to know Sean Murphy because he's going to be traded away. And Pache just wasn't putting up the offensive numbers that the A's wanted. And he was out of minor league options. And that's what happens. But he gets to go over to the Phillies and get his opening day roster situation that he wants. And of course, he was a big part of that Olsen trade, but so was Shea Langeliers. And that guy can hit the ball. He's one of the better catchers in the game right now, unheard of. But I mentioned those veteran guys and the bullpen, very right-handed heavy, but you know, that's okay as well. So I will say, let's do 65 games just to go crazy.
Are we going to see Tyler Soderstrom this year?
I don't see why not. I think worst case scenario, like last year, there was a lot of up and down movements toward the end of the season, maybe just to get the guy's feet wet. Nate Mondu was a scenario. I think he came up with the last series of the season and it worked out. I just finished covering him in the AAA during my AAA broadcasts. And if you look at Soderstrom, the guy's gotten a lot more mass on him. I think he's ready for the bigs. And as far as the backup catcher situation, couldn't hurt. Shea does deserve some days off every now and then. So I don't see why not.
Am I ever going to be able to get you back on the show if I hit the under?
Totally. Totally. Yeah.
Well, good.
All these things aren't things that I've never heard, Danny. So it's just like
way under.
Okay. Relax.
Now we'll go under. I'm going to say they'll win 55 games this year. It's not about winning for this team right now. It's honestly just about the future for this team. So the A's do this. This is part of the cycle. They get this core group of guys up, and then when they're about to become free agents, they start shipping them off. You know, we've seen this all before when it was Cespedes shipped to Boston. They ended up getting, you know, Lester. Like, this is part of the cycle. And right now, unfortunately for A's fans, there's a lot of other things going on too, ballpark-wise, franchise-wise. We won't get into it. Right now, it's not about winning games. I think the vibes are good. I just don't know if it's enough to win 60 games. I will go under, and a lot of that has to do with how competitive that division is.
I like that. Put it off on some other team. I love it.
I'm going to put it on a shirt for you, and I'll send it to you, all right?
Beautiful.
You can wear it around the Oakland Coliseum.
Great.
Let's shift it over to the National League. Dodgers are the favorites. No, they're not the favorite. Padres are actually the favorite this year, which is shocking. For the first time in over a decade that the Dodgers are not favored to win the West. 96.5 for the Dodgers. That's after winning 111 games.
Why don't they think any team will win 100 games? That's what I want to know.
I know. The Astros were, what, the highest at 97.5? Yeah. If the Dodgers don't hit their over, that means they lost 15 more games than they did the previous year. That's a lot of games.
I feel like they're going to feel the loss of Trey Turner more than they're willing to admit.
Yeah, I agree. Dude, they lost a lot, Jessica.
Yeah.
Trey Turner, starting shortstop. See ya. Justin Turner, starting third baseman. Smell ya. Starting center fielder, Cody Bellinger.
Yeah.
Farewell. And then Tyler Anderson was an all-star last year. Andrew Heaney was starting to find his way, dealt with some injuries. And the bullpen got hit hard, too. Chris Martin, he's now in Boston. Tommy Canley with New York. And then Craig Kimbrell with Philadelphia. They lost a lot. That's not to mention the guys that are injured. Gavin Lux, out for the season, torn ACL. Walker Buehler, Tommy John surgery. Tony Gonsolin and Blake Treinen expected to start the season on the injured list. That's a lot of movement. And I know that they won 111 games last year. That's a lot of guys. A lot of leadership.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what people forget, too. And, like, there's still Freddie Freeman, of course. There's still Mookie Betts. Let's not bank everything on them. And part of those moves or the lack of moves is because they're the favorites to land Shohei Ohtani. But I also know that the Dodgers will always have the means, but there's still that luxury tax threshold that they always manage to mess with. So that's something that I've been paying attention to as well, because they're usually spewing out money, no problem. But they want to make sure they ultimately land Ohtani, because Ohtani likes LA, but he also likes winning. And those, you can get both of those aspects when you play for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And I mentioned a lot of these things, but here's the thing that was interesting. I looked at an article from 538 and they said that the Dodgers would have the most uncertainty in the league and all of MLB as it pertains to their winning projections. So I personally think, you know, every year when Mike Trout is healthy, he's in discussion for the AL MVP, no matter what. This is how I feel about the Dodgers. They're always going to be the team to beat, whether they have everything going for them or nothing going for them. So that's why it's kind of interesting. However, they're not my number one team to beat in the division. That's going to go to the Padres. But I think I feel comfortable keeping them around the 95, 96 win mark. So maybe a little bit under.
You probably noticed Big Boy back here. He kind of pops up every now and then. Yeah.
And I feel like it's a good career moment for me to not squeal in the midst of a dog moving. So killing it over here.
Yeah, they lost a lot. I'm hitting the under. I don't know. That's a great segue. We can kind of start talking about the Padres right now, because I think when you look on paper, and that's all we have to formulate an opinion right now, is what we have on paper and what the recent history tells us. Recent history tells us that the San Diego Padres eliminated the Dodgers in the National League Divisional Series last year, and they advanced to the National League Championship Series. The Padres did. Padres then went out and upgraded their shortstop position by getting Xander Bogaerts, and that's despite already having, I shouldn't say despite, fortunately, already having Tatis and Ha-Seom Kim at the shortstop position. They also went and got some veteran leadership with Nelson Cruz, Matt Carpenter, Michael Wacha they added to their rotation, and Seth Lugo they added to their rotation. And they lost some role players with Josh Bell, Manaea, Clevinger, Drury, Profar, and Myers. I think the biggest loss there is Profar, because of his flexibility and his ability to play all these different positions. I know you're very familiar with him from his.
I love Profar. Yes.
Good dude, right?
Great dude. Resting smiley face.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think the Padres on paper are significantly better than the Dodgers. That said, the Dodgers have a history of winning. They have dominated this division and this league for the better half of a decade, if not more. I think the Padres, I agree with you. I think the Padres win this division. Their win total is set at 93.5. I think they go over, and I think they win 95 games. I think the Dodgers win 93, 94 games, and it's going to be a fight.
Why not 100 games? Like, why? What is wrong?
Somebody's going to win 100. Somebody's going to win 100.
I feel like they're my team to beat, period. They're my World Series winners, and I'm not just sucking up. Yeah, they're not my, I'm not sucking up to Bob Melvin, but I'm not sucking up.
No, you are. No, you are.
I would take a bullet and run through a brick wall for Bob Melvin, no problem. You are right. I'm definitely sucking up to Bob Melvin. I love that man. And, you know, we get Blake Snell, we get Musgrove, we get Yu Darvish, we get Josh Hader closing out games. And you mentioned the loss of Sean Manaea. I don't think they had the best Sean Manaea last season. And I think the Giants are going to see him, but I don't think that they got the best out of their, it was a great trade. I mean, it was an awkward trade, because it was the whole thing during spring training and I had to cry to Bob. It was a whole thing, but it was just a really, it was a very emotional day, but I don't think they got the best of Sean Manaea. And Tatis Jr. will return. Well, he's eligible to return on 420, which is perfect for me, but he'll be shifting the outfield and everything like that. He's probably going to be hitting leadoff Bob Melvin mentioned that recently, because he's going to be pouncing on the ball, not to mention the fact the moment he pops on base, he's going to be stealing. So I have them not only winning the whole thing, I have them hitting 100, let's do 102 games, because that feels about right. And you mentioned the Angels have to win it. So do the Padres. This is Bob's last year. And Juan Soto is probably going to be the NL MVP. He's up. He's definitely a guy for it. And I think he's going to stay there. If I heard correctly, he bought a house there recently, and not like a house for a major league player to buy in the offseason. Like, he's going to stay there. So I feel like that's something that you have to pay attention to, because they came close last year. Bob went to the Padres to earn a World Series win before he retired. You mentioned Carp. Carp's the perfect guy to kind of boost these guys. I'm all in on the San Diego Padres. I just got all jacked up just talking about that. You know what I'm saying?
You need to take a walk. We need to take a break.
No, right. I'm good. I'm great. I'm going to keep the adrenaline's going.
We could go back to the Oakland A's if you want to talk about them. I know.
I don't mind. Let's go. I'll talk about whatever. I'm jacked up.
We might lose a few listeners if we talk too much about Oakland here, Jess. I hate to break it to you.
I don't care.
Here's a familiar name for you. Drew Pomeranz. He's going to return this year. 1.62 ERA in 2020 and 2021 for then undergoing Tommy John surgery. You talk about Pomeranz and Hader, 7th, 8th, 9th, and then you throw in Robert Suarez in there too. That bullpen's good too. Yeah. You know, and I have them, I said 95 wins, I think is what I said to win the division. 95, 96 wins. Wouldn't surprise me in the least if they won 100. The depth,
you know what I was thinking of? There was once, this, you want to call it the Mickey Mouse World Series, it's fine. But what it came down to with the Dodgers and the Rays, it was their bullpen ERA. Yeah. The two lowest ERAs out of their bullpen, and they were playing in the World Series. I know it was the compacted season, but it's those numbers that I always pay attention to, because people are, oh, defense wins championships. Sure. But you know that moment, the Sergio Romo moments that you get is because of your bullpen.
Nice drop there. I see what you did there.
See what I mean? I'm all jacked up.
I know.
Makes me think of Talladega. I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew.
Could you imagine if we had you on here consistently and we had Brooksy on here too? That guy knows how to fire you up, let me tell you. He knows how to get under your skin.
I'll have to remind myself of that. Like, I'm like, I'll DM and be like, I'm not feeling great today. And then just have him take it from there.
You know what I want to do? How well do you know Alana Rizzo?
I don't know her at all.
She's a Dodgers expert. I'm going to ask her if the Dodgers are going to win 96 and a half games. I want to see what she says. She had like...
Okay, then I'll ask Bob Melvin.
You won't.
I say, of course I will. You know I will.
Will the Dodgers win 97 games? I'll say 100. Asking for a pod. Let's see what she says.
Okay.
Because she's the expert. She spent like a decade with them as a reporter. So if she's probably not going to want this on the record. Maybe I'll just edit it out.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great thing about
podcasting. I at least am very open about the A's struggles.
Yeah.
That's not true. Lying over here.
You're honest. Mm-hmm. Give you that. San Francisco Giants are kind of like the A's, except they're like a new creation of the A's, and they spend like a little bit more money, but they haven't been able to land any free agents, or at least big ones.
Don't know where you're going with your metaphor here.
You don't think they're the A's? Like, the way that they use their analytics, and they don't really spend on big contracts. Well, there's
the Farhan Zaidi connection.
Sure.
But
yeah, and they definitely have like a much higher payroll. I'm not trying to compare those two, but... Okay. They haven't signed a big contract. They've extended guys. Crawford, they extended.
Yeah.
The biggest contract year-to-year-wise or yearly salary was Carlos Rodon. And it was only a two-year deal with a player option after year one. They have,
you have to remember, to they went out and tried, at least.
They tried.
They're like just, the bridesmaids,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's tough. So that,
they at least went out there and tried. And like the Carlos Correa, Arson Judge, like there was the whole situation there with that. So they went after Giancarlo Stanton. They went after Bryce Harper. They went after everybody. So they at least knew that. But then, you know, maybe I really think it comes down to taxes, or in Carlos Correa's case, a bad physical. But I think it comes down to taxes for them.
Mitch Haniger is a good pickup. That dude can rake. And he's Cal Poly's finest.
Absolutely. I covered him a lot when I was doing my Reno Aces coverage. But, I mean... he just needs to stay healthy, you know, and that's kind of what it is. But you're right. He's such a machine and like robotic. But the guy is fantastic when he's on it. And I think defensively, Brandon Crawford can go up against any defensive shortstop in the game. And Jock Peterson, saw him the other night. He's still raking, sneaky fast sneaky fast on the bases. And I'm sucking up to both you and Logan Webb. I know he's your boy. He's my boy too. He's my sneaky Cy Young candidate.
Hey,
not just sucking up to you Sacramento boys, but he finished his spring training really strong and he's a strikeout machine. And actually I have a question for you because I'm going to ask him soon. Rocklin is not considered the Bay, correct?
No shot.
Yeah. When he became popular because nobody pays attention, people are like, oh, Bay Area guy. He's not a freaking Bay Area guy. That's like saying I'm from Vegas. I can't.
No, no, it's disrespectful to even say that. Like, we have our own thing going. I reside in Rockland, California. That is where my home is located. The house that Logan Webb, or the stadium that Logan Webb built, Rockland High School, right down the hill from me. We are 2.5 hours spending on traffic to even get to like the Oakland, San Francisco area.
Telling you,
we have our own NBA team. We got our own arena.
You literally, it was NBC Sports California and NBC Sports Bay Area.
Boom. There you go. Yeah. Yeah. Don't confuse us. Don't even try. Don't get me started.
So those of y'all who got a romantic about Logan, who, first of all, how dare you for not paying attention to him at the beginning.
Yeah. 94, 95 mile an hour sinkers. Yeah.
Yes.
Dude's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Alex Cobb all of a sudden is throwing 96, 97, 98 miles an hour too, Well, that was nobody paid attention to that signing 2 years ago. And now the factory is doing what they're doing in San Francisco. They really like David Villar.
I love David Villar.
Yeah. He's a good little player, man.
You know who doesn't think David Villar is a good player? David Villar.
Really? He's very humble.
He does not realize how good he is. Like when he gets media requests, he's like, really me? And you know who else is really, really good is Casey Schmidt. That guy is phenomenal defensively. Had like a little bit of a rough time after he got drafted by the Giants, but he was also taking some shortstop outings because Crawford's been kind of injured. That guy has range, but he can also beef up that lineup and is really good at the plate as well.
VR had 9 homers in 52 games last year. He had 27 homers in AAA too. So
I was going to say, check out his AAA home runs. Like they were great. He was so good.
Yeah, but like how?
PCL, I know, but we're not doing that anymore. We're not doing that anymore.
So here's the deal with Reno. I know you're Reno's best and I like the city. It's a good place, you know, a good little vacation spot for the weekend, not for a whole week by any means.
Or 20 years of your life. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
I hated Reno for the longest time because I hated pitching in Reno because the ball fucking flies up in Reno.
You know why I'm good at my job? I had to interview pitchers after pitching at Greater Nevada Field.
Yeah,
so many things were off the record, dude, because guys were like, don't put that in there. Don't put that in. Don't put that in there.
Yeah, it's brutal. I gave up back-to-back-to-back jacks. The only time I've ever done that in my career.
What do you think your ERA was in Reno? Because Dallas Keuchel told me his ERA was like LOL. I think it was like 10 something.
Mine was probably LOL times 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like not the regular laughing emoji, but like the sideways one, new one.
So for you people listening who've never thrown or hit in Reno, it's essentially Coors, but maybe worse because it does get warmer there.
Yeah.
And that's why people thrive at Chase Field because of the altitude and the fact that it's warmer there. But the PCL is filled with it because you got a stadium in Vegas, you got a stadium in Colorado, you got a stadium in Sacramento, same thing. People thrive in the PCL, but we're not really talking about that anymore. Scouts have been telling me like, it's like people are transitioning better from there because they're just like, oh, it's the PCL. No. Well, you have to suck it up because you're hitting really well for the AAA team in Vegas. And then you have to transition to Oakland, which people hated hitting in Oakland. Think about it.
81.5 over under San Francisco.
I'm going to go under just slightly.
Okay. I'll go over. Arizona. You mentioned Corbin Carroll. Dude's going to be an absolute stud. They also added Evan Longoria. Miguel Castro. Oh, time for the fantasy draft. Wake and Rake podcast fantasy draft actually is going on right now. I got to join that. Andrew Chafin is back in Arizona. They actually brought over Kyle Lewis, former American League Rookie of the Year, and they traded for Lourdes Gurriel. He was in that Dalton Varsho trade. I think what Brett Strom does with his pitchers, second to none in the league, their over-under is win total is set at 74.5. What do you think about Arizona?
They're going to be very underappreciated. You want to talk about, this is my thorn in the side team of the NL West. I mentioned Corbin Carroll, and this is what I love is I'm noticing a lot of big league front offices are putting money on their AAA numbers. I think Corbin Carroll had 32 big league games, and the next, you know, it's an 8-year extension. So I love that. That means there's some weight there in the minor leagues, which means come out and support your local teams, guys. Go out in your community. Go watch those games. You mentioned Evan Longoria. You need a guy like that.
He's still elite.
Still elite. You need a guy like that on a team that has a lot of younger guys. I notice it a lot in the A's clubhouse. Same thing. Zach Gallen, Merrill Kelly, really good performance with the WBC. Dre Jameson, his pitching arsenal has about 45 pitches, but they're all pretty good, and especially his specialty pitches. And he's trying some things out coming out of the bullpen right there. The first guy I ever had a sit-down interview with was Christian Walker. And he is a guy you need to not sleep on because there's power there at first base. And Jake McCarthy, so much power at the plate as well. And nothing is getting by him in the outfield. I do have them in third place. I think they're going to win about 75 games-ish. But I don't think we'd be surprised if they surpass that because they have so much underappreciated young talent. I just finished covering them in AAA. Dominic Fletcher, who's David Fletcher's brother, reigns in the outfield. And if he's still in AAA and that guy never leaves a game with a clean uniform, that's going to show how good just their farm system is. So they're going to be good, not just for now, but that's why they extended Corbin Carroll. They know there's so much young talent to build around him from an organization that doesn't hand out extensions like candy, you know? So they are my wild card, not literally wild card team, but they're like my big, like
let's sleeper team.
Let's F stuff up. Definitely my sleeper team. Yes.
Yeah. I like that. Defensively, they're really good too. Now they lost Varsho, who led all MLB outfielders and outs above average. But the team itself, they actually led all of Major League Baseball in outs above average last year with 44. They were second defensive rating, 41.4. They're good defensively. Alec Thomas and Corbin Carroll have a little bit of experience under their belt now. We saw what Alec Thomas does defensively in the World Baseball Classic. Yeah, I'm hitting the over. I like Arizona this year. I think they could surprise some people. I think they're still young. Last year, I think it's September, beginning of September, they were like 5-6 games back of the wildcard race. So who knows? Maybe they make things interesting.
And it's about damn time, too. I feel like you've seen so much underappreciated talent with that team, and it's just a unique front office. Don't get me wrong, but it's like, I love Luis Gonzalez, but he's been one of the bigger names in Arizona sports forever. And it's time for somebody else to do that. And Luis would totally agree with me. So it's one of those things. And I'm just really excited. And I'm a little biased because they're one of the reasons why I'm here and covering baseball for a living, but I'm so excited to see what they do this season.
Yeah. I forget about your Diamondbacks connection with you being from Reno.
Yeah.
Rockies. I think this is, hear me out. Okay. I think this is the best bet. If we're talking betting sports books, this is the best bet. 65.5 is what the Rockies win totals at. They went 68-94. They're fantastic at home always because of what they're able to do at Coors Field.
I hit 300 at Coors just
after. Sure. Yeah, sure. I do not. I'm like 280, but I'm close.
Yeah, I know.
I'm
always picking up your slack.
I'm slamming the over on 65.5. Their bullpen's kind of decent too,
their actually. Bullpen's Brad pretty Hand, decent,
Daniel, yeah. Daniel Bard. Hopefully the World Baseball Classic wasn't a foreshadowing of what's to come, because you'd never want to see that. But Brad Hand, Daniel Bard, they brought over the lefty from Milwaukee, drawing a blank on his name. But the bullpen's decent. I think they win 68-70 games, top 70, but I think they surpass 65 pretty easily.
I'm going to say 69 games to stay on the Jess brand, but I'm right there with you. We mentioned Profar earlier. You need a guy like that to liven things up in that clubhouse because it might be kind of a down year. Chris Bryant's kind of used to things going a certain way. And I feel like that addition is definitely going to help them. You mentioned the bullpen, but here's the thing. They mentioned this rebuild situation, and I'm kind of rebuild, I feel like, is tossed out so fast, which is fine. But the front office did say, you know, keep concentrating on the future, keep concentrating on the future, which in my mind means rebuild, or we don't have any answers to some of your questions. But I'm right there with you. I don't think it'll be a total blowout. I don't think they're going to have the most losses of the season. But like we talked about the bullpen and how imperative it is to a team's success. That's certainly going to help them. But I mean, they're my last place team for the division,
yeah.
But I, you know, at the end of the day, you live in Denver, Colorado. So that's not a bad time.
I'm already keeping you way too long. I promise.
But I never I never stay around my usual time limit, 'cause I talk a lot,
especially like Northern California people. You just get, start talking about like avocados and stuff over here in Northern California. We don't stop talking.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Corbin Carroll and just set me off. Yeah.
Joey Votto. When I mentioned Joey Votto, it started going off the rails right then and there.
Very true.
Yeah. That does it for over-unders, National League West, American League West. We have one game to play. So I never do this with Brooksy because he's too afraid of being embarrassed, and he'll be the first to admit it. I came up with five players who may or may not be on the Colorado Rockies.
Okay.
Jessica came up with five players who may or may not be on the Oakland A's. Keep this in mind. Colorado Rockies and Oakland A's have a lot of players that nobody has any idea about. So
I'm terrified I'm going to ruin this whole Rockies thing. But
yeah, we're both probably going to butcher this. So you're going to name five names. I'm going to name five names. I have to decide whether these are real people or fictional people, and you're going to do the same.
Yeah.
I'll let you go first.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So this is if they are on the team or they're not on the team. Okay. So first guy, Logan Harris.
Fictional.
That is correct. We have a Hogan Harris.
His name's Hogan. His first name is Hogan.
First name is Hogan.
No shit.
Drew Rosinski.
He's on the team. I know him.
Okay. Well, this one's going to be easy too. Domingo Acevedo.
I believe he is on the team as well.
He is on the team. Manny Ruiz.
On the team.
He is not on the team. We have a Manny Pena and an Estuary Ruiz.
I see what you did. You were tricking me with the names, though.
I did that with Logan Harris, too.
Mm-hmm.
This is the last one. Is he or is he not on the Oakland A's? Christian Pache.
Oh, see, there we go. There, I needed that one. No, he is not, because he just got traded.
That is correct. He is not on the Oakland A's.
He gave me the alley-oop on that one. All right. Infielder, Eloares Montero. Eloares Montero.
He is on the team.
He's a real. Yes.
Yes.
Pitcher, Daniel Munoz. Is he on the Colorado Rockies?
Yes.
Fake person.
Dang.
Pitcher, Fernando Lucha.
Yes.
Fake. See, this is why Brooksy doesn't do it.
Yeah. Okay.
Catcher, Brian Servin.
How do you spell Servin?
Serven.
Yes.
He's a real person. Yep. He's really on the Colorado Rockies. And pitcher Connor Siebold.
Yes.
Yes. They just brought him over from Boston. You did same as me.
Okay.
We both suck equally.
We do both suck equally, which at the end of the day is all you want out of a podcast co-host.
We like to call ourselves experts, but I think that's a little.
I made sure I stopped using the term expert because people just ream into me in the comments.
And you know, the only people that ever predict the World Series is some random dude on Twitter that posted it 5 years ago, and they all of a sudden get, you know, raised up from the grave. You know, expert. All right. I can't thank you enough, Jess, for joining us.
This was so much fun. Not a problem at all.
We're going to have you back. I won't take an hour next time we do this. Maybe I can't. You know what? I can't promise that.
I was going to say, it's probably me who can't promise that either.
So. No, it's going both ways for sure. Enjoy the season with Oakland. Enjoy the baseball season. Be safe out there. Have fun at the Coliseum. I don't know how many more years we have out there. And
I have my dress. My dress is all hung for opening day. We're ready to go.
Good. I love
it. Like a kid in Christmas Eve.
Yes. Happy opening day to you. Happy opening day to everybody. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next time on the Wake and Rake podcast. Peace out.